From the campus of Sterling College in Sterling, Kansas, this is Technology in the Classroom, February 7th, 2011, Week 2. All right, good evening, everyone. We'll proceed with the festivities in a little bit, but I just wanted to touch on a couple things from last week on as far as, and the reason I went with this projector rather than the normal one so I could use my laptop. I went to borrow this to let you guys try this out tonight in class or pass around. It's an air slate. Some of you have seen them in observation, some of you may not. Only problem is the teacher I borrowed with. Yeah, it works. It just died. It's not charged. So we'll get to toy around with that next week. So I will be using some smart board activities just to show you that you don't necessarily need to have the smart board to actually use the smart board software. And one thing that I have not done with the students in the past when it came to the smart board is, in the past we usually were with teachers, they showed you how to do it, you got to go up and do some of their stuff. Well, in October, late October, I discovered a website where it's web-based and it's the same software that we use, except for it's just a little watered down since it's web-based, but it actually lets you guys create an actual smart activity. So that would be one thing that we use, is on the surveys that you folks completed. Let me bring up the results for you. You guys completed a survey form, and one of them was how to do forms and self-grading quizzes. So what I'm getting ready to show you is going to be kind of what you could do. So basically, out of the topics you got to choose from, you can kind of see, and I know it's a little difficult, but our top two things is the video creating and editing forms and self-grading quiz with video conferencing, and the responses and the clickers are all kind of in there. Podcasting was trailed behind, so we'll not worry about podcasting so much unless we kind of get to a point where there's something that we would want to do with that, and then we'll tie it in. But there's three of you that marked other. Now, I didn't see when you marked other what the other might be if you typed into the box. So any of you in here are one of those three that marked other? Advanced?
Yeah.
What did you have in there?
Well, because I never really worked with a smartphone, so I don't know if, like, you can do it. But I mean, like, I was thinking, like, maybe a program. What I was thinking would be cool is like, when I'm teaching set instructors, if I could just, like, look the words.
Yeah, and we'll do that, and that'll be some of the stuff tied into the smart board. The biggest reason I didn't put that up there is because I knew everybody's going to be interested in that, so yeah. But no, that's one of the big ones where they do that. Anybody else? No? You're shy? All right. Well, so that right there tells you that the predominant things that we will use, we're going to focus on besides some of the other stuff that I've got for us. But you folks have chosen the survey, self-grading quizzes, the creation editing, response systems, video conferencing. And what we'll do there is, the way you'll learn about that is obviously we'll show you Skype, but we'll have people pop in that talk about some of these other things and how they use it. And that way you can kind of get an idea of that. So it's going to be intermingled into a lot of different things that we do. Matter of fact, the educational website evaluate, what my plans there is a lady by the name of Kelly Tinkley. It's ilearntechnology.com is her website, one of many. Another one she does is ipadcurriculum.com. And she's the one that, the way she does her iPad curriculum website is, she's working with students. And she Skypes with those students. They evaluate them and give her feedback on those applications. So what I was going to do was, by using Skype, obviously, is let you guys, we're going to give you guys a binder, a three-ring virtual binder. And it's going to have some resources out there. And you guys are going to get a chance to evaluate some of the apps. And then when we talk as a group, you're going to say, you know, this is an app, I could see how this could be used in this facet, or it's more of a play thing than an educational type thing. But also let her talk with you guys on how she evaluates websites and applications and recommends them. Because that's what her iLearn technology is. It's basically a website where she'll come across stuff, evaluate it, recommend, and say, here's how it could be used, how, you know, maybe it shouldn't be as recommended for all levels, certain levels. But that way you guys can get a chance to interact with those folks and talk to them, plus do some of that. So that was how I would plan on incorporating that. So here's the thing. Now that we have the survey results and this information basically in, now not everybody completed the survey. There was 5 of you that did not. Those of you that did, you got 10 points just for doing 6 questions in 5 minutes. You know, and again, that's an activity, but you also got to experience, you know, a simple, quick way of doing a form right there, and it provides you all the data. So what I did was I just use a piece of technology, but not for the fact to say I use technology, but I used it to gather your input to help decide what we're doing. So it's kind of what the main emphasis of this class is about. So any questions over any of those results right there, the response system stuff?
Yeah, it's not about that, but about the survey, if mm-hmm. you did, would it still show up at the bottom? Because I know I did it, and then I can ask you.
There was some of you that took it twice, but yes, once you hit submit and you refresh the page, it's going to be there,
okay.
Right? Yeah. That may be why a couple of you completed the survey twice. So, but no, yes, you're correct. When you embed something like that, it's going to stay there.
That was the question.
No, that's a good question because a lot of people, you know, that may explain why somebody did it more than once on there. So, the next thing I wanted to point out to you was here is that form. We just saw the results. Well, you'll notice when you create a form, it automatically creates the spreadsheet for you, or a database, in a roundabout way. In the old days, when you would have to create surveys like that, you would have to create, for example, a Microsoft Office Access database. Then you had to go into another application to create the survey, and then from there you had to coordinate it with the database and say, which field was this? And you could spend days doing it, where here, you guys are going to find it's going to take you 5 minutes to do like a 6-question survey. You know, 10 minutes. It's simple. The next thing I wanted to talk about was in Google Docs. Hopefully it kind of explained it to you, but I tried to send that email out. But also, here's the rubrics for everything. When you're in the Google Docs, this first rubric is the rubric I'll use to evaluate your blog posts. The second slide is the rubric I would use when we start class discussions. The homework this week is basically you're going to read a couple of blogs. Because if you remember last week, I said I don't like having you guys buy textbooks. You know, more accurate, more, you know, what's your view of what this person thinks type discussions. Well, we're going to use Edmodo this week, and I've already got it in the Edmodo for you. But within there, this is how I will kind of determine what you get. Now, I will be honest, on the blogs, everyone scored well because I felt, you know what? A, it's the first time for most of you to do a blog. B, you don't know exactly what I'm looking for. So I figured, you know, everything in your blog responses for some of you, for some of you, will improve as the semester goes because you'll start to understand what I'm looking for. Now, honestly, how many of you, after you posted it, went back and looked to see if there's any comments? Okay, good. I put one comment in, you know, public comment, and then your evaluations to know how you scored and where I rated you, and my notes with those are on the private comments. So that's what's nice about on the kid blog is that you can go, when you log back in on kid blog, okay, when you log in, right now I'm not logged in, so only public comments show. When you would log in to review your blog, Okay? And those are only there for you to see. Helps if I type correctly. Now you notice in my column here how all of a sudden it's changed to 2. So if you were a teacher and you were using this, you would be able to give your students feedback privately on their posts without everybody else seeing it. So that way you guys can always kind of refer back to it, because we're always going to use those 3 classifications. That rubric won't change on your blog posts.
How do you view those?
Okay, go to your, click on your specific blog. And then scroll down.
This is the private one.
That's the public one. Did you log into the website?
Yeah.
Once you log in, you should see both of them. When you're not, you just see the public. Okay? Yes. It was on the week 1 page right there with the steps.
Gotta love the batteries, huh? Or is it just, it won't let you guys in at all?
Let's see. Is it about that for you?
If you guys need to pull those chargers out and put them in the floor jacks, go for it. Or the floor outlets. So anyhow, that way, anytime we do that, you're going to have that stuff there. Now, here's my intentions on the discussion. Is that, like you guys know on Facebook, you can have private one-on-one conversations. So typically what I plan on doing in Moda, when I evaluate your discussion, you'll just get a private message from me that says, here it is. And that way you guys can get the feedback. But here's my ultimate goal with the Edmodo site, is just to throw some open-ended questions out there about it, and I want you guys to be able to put your opinion up and respond to some others. Because, like I said, I want this to be, you know, discussion-driven. I don't want to be the one that's up here all the time doing all that stuff, and I know I'm doing that right now, but this is just to make sure you guys kind of understand how these, I blog the stuff, or when I blog comments, where you can find them and everything. That way you understand, because I want to provide as close to immediate feedback as I can, you know. It's not one of those where you turn stuff in and you never hear anything back about it. So that's how I'm planning on using this stuff. So any questions on where to find the comments, where to find the rubrics? Everybody all right with the stuff on the survey results?
I just got on Edmodo. Where is the discussion? Like, you have it posted here. I just clicked on turn in. Is that one? Oh, right there.
Yeah, just underneath. And actually, what I did, that's a homework assignment, but I'll actually start a discussion tomorrow for us when I put the questions out. What I did there, did everybody ask her question? Hear what she asked? Okay, for those of you who did not, she asked, where is the discussion part in Edmodo? Well, right now, the only thing that's up is the assignment piece, and that's the link to the 2 articles on the web, 2 blog posts, okay? Tomorrow or tonight after class, I'll pop in there and start a discussion and put some questions up. But that way, at least you guys could log in, see where the assignment is. The links to the 2 assignments are there. Now, these are due. I say do, you know, but at least have put your thoughts up and responded to at least one other person by 6 o'clock Saturday. Okay, that gives you plenty of time. I know you got other classes. Another thing I want to remind you, some of you did not do this week's homework. Make sure you go back and look at the grade you know, the grading levels, grading scale that we have for class, because I do accept late work, but in there it explains to you how I break it down as far as what's deducted for if you don't get it done or get it turned in late. So take a look at that. So, all right. As I kind of touched on last week when we talked about, and I try to put up my little umbrella, the essential question that we're going to have, and this is also going to be kind of the essential question on your discussion, is what is engagement? And what we're talking about there is getting the students involved. Unit questions, how are students engaged? And then what methods will be used to engage the students? So again, that kind of gives you an idea of how broad we go down to a specific type of question in there. So these are the things that I want you to be thinking about, not just when we watch this video in a moment, but when you guys are in groups here in a moment and you're going to be given some rubrics and you're evaluating actual classroom situations using these rubrics that I'll give you. And these rubrics are the rubrics that are used nationwide in LODI, which is Levels of Teaching Innovation. But before I get too much into that, let me go ahead and have you guys take a look at this video, then I'm going to have you chat with your neighbors.
Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them, but the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
Okay, that's an older Apple commercial. It's entitled Think Different. So here's what I want you to think about, and you're going to talk with your neighbors, is how would you explain the message of this video, and then how could education and educators basically, that's not written right now that I read it. What could educators do in their classroom that kind of addresses what was discussed in this video? Okay, so I want you to talk to your neighbor about those couple things. Is, again, thinking of the message of this video and what educators could do in their classroom to allow that to happen. So go ahead and turn to your neighbor, and you can go ahead and get started. Drop the word video. Once you have expressed your thoughts to your neighbor and vice versa, go ahead and jump into Edmodo and respond with your thoughts.
What's our password for Edmodo again?
That would be whatever you created it as. You created your own password.
But that one's still not playing on the grid. I mean, this is the third one. Sledgehammer time.
Yeah, so under the reply, now that you kind of talked with your neighbors, now go in there and post what you thought right there. Just click on the reply and put your comment in. Yes, ma'am. Now, as you guys do this, one thing I'll also remind you is, you know, the Google Calendar has when stuff's due, when, you know, what's going on. We've got it at the bottom of the wiki page, but I'm also putting it in here, too, under calendar and everything. All of those comments for appointments, due dates, all that stuff's in there for you. Got in. Thank goodness. No, you're okay. You're all right. I'm getting everybody plenty of time. As you type, a real good friend of mine, Diane Smokarowski, she teaches 8th grade English at Andover. Used to be a technology and grade integration specialist at Andover. And Renwick's, well, she works for Intel also. You could say it's a side job. She's all over, they fly her all over the place. She uses Edmodo in all of her classes, and Andover now uses it district-wide. And a lot of time, she will use this, like, for example, that video was 1 minute long, okay? But if she's showing a video longer than that in class, the kids actually get on Edmodo and they talk about the video as it's going. They'll ask each other questions or respond to questions during class while the video is going on. It's kind of funny. I've got two friends. One's a fourth grade teacher, and another one's another elementary teacher, and they use Edmodo with their students. And they will actually they'll find some of their kids on at night talking about tests and reviewing back and forth on tests through Edmodo, asking each other questions. Because you as a teacher, you'll see all that stuff kind of going on. And it's pretty cool. Now, as you folks know from experience, or some of you experience on Facebook, obviously some conversations can get real long. That's the big difference between using Facebook or Edmodo than a site that we would call a name site, okay, or even what we would call a forum. Because the difference would be is discussion forums. And a lot of other sites will allow you to go to that one specific person and respond just to them rather than just populating all the way through like on Facebook and all. So So those are some other things to consider when you evaluate websites, is what do you want that to do? What features do you want to have? So those are some things to think about. All right, everybody kind of got their 2 cents put in? Getting there? All right. We'll give you one more minute, and then I'm going to go ahead and start on to the next part and kind of get you guys going into the activity you're going to have to do here in class. While you're finishing up, I did go ahead and get the week one audio podcast posted. I don't know if any of you needed to go listen to it or not, but I also, on the TNC Media page, posted a screencast of how to post your blog and use kidblog.org. It's on that TNC Media page for all of you. You laugh, but that's one of the elementary teacher's favorite little flash apps on the smart board, is the timer. So that way, when you got your kids right there, you could do that. So, okay, so let's kind of take a look at Lodi here, and let me explain all this to you, and I'm not going to try to keep you from going to sleep on it. This used to be... Lodi used to have a different meaning. It used to be levels of technology implementation. All right. Basically, it was, were you using technology, and it focused on just technology. Well, that was in 1994 when Dr. Chris Marsh is the one that started this. Well, in 2007, the name stayed Lodi, but that's when it changed to Teaching Innovations. And what spurred that was the change in the ISTE standards. And we'll talk about these as we kind of go, but the anybody have an idea what IST or ISTE would stand for? What do you think the T stands for?
Technology.
Okay, technology. What do you think the E stands for?
Education.
Okay. Instruction. It's education, but all those tie in. Okay? It's the International Society of Technology and Education. It's what ISTE stands for. Now, this is the one thing that I don't know if some of you have noticed on some of the stuff that comes out of Dr. Ricker's house's office or not, but you may see NETS-S, NETS-T, NETS-A. What this is the National Educational Technology Standards. These are the standards for students. These are the standards for teachers. These are the standards for administrators. And more schools have adopted those standards as their district-wide technology standards. So what I would suggest to you guys is, over time, is that you, I'm not saying go memorize everything, but you need to become familiar with this, because I know of superintendents and high school principals, the interview questions will incorporate stuff that goes along those things. In the past, we used to have a superintendent would come in and talk with everybody from Kingman. He's now in Kuwait, running an American school in Kuwait. And he and his administrators, that was one of the first things, is they would start asking about how comfortable you were with technology and how would you incorporate it in the classroom. Now, please don't get me wrong, that after we get done here in a little bit, you're going to see that a lot of the classrooms may score low, real low on the spectrum that use technology, and there may be some that score extremely high and have about that much technology in it. That was the one interesting point that, in talking about infusion, here's a quote from a third grade teacher about it, because it does incorporate Bloom's taxonomy and the higher thinking skills and troubleshooting, problem solving. But the biggest point that you're going to find is going to be, do you give students a chance to create something, express their thoughts? You know, do you throw something out that they got to think about? You know, and again, it's also going to come back to, and here's just kind of a quick framework for what we're talking about. Now, before I show you some cartoons that help explain these levels, is there anything that you guys might be able to guess that would make a difference between something being mechanical and something being routine? Any ideas? Here's an example. How many of you, when you make a cake or cookies, you follow the recipe? Be honest. A few of you. How many of you just throw it together and make it and you eat it? How many do that? Right there is a prime example of difference between mechanical and kind of a routine. Is mechanical, it's very structured, and it's like, okay, open your laptops, go to this website, okay? Where tonight, every one of you walked in, I didn't say, hey, grab a laptop. It's routine. You knew it. You knew you get to use it in here, so you just came in, sat down, and got started. That's routine versus mechanical. All right? The other thing you're going to see in the picture is something to do with factories. When you think about the Industrial Revolution, some of you kind of hinted about the education and how structured it was and very traditional. Okay. There's going to be a difference in mechanical and routine. All right, so level zero, basically no use. Nothing's being used. It's sitting over there collecting dust. Some of you make that point in your blog posts, all right? And that was great to read. Awareness comes down to who's using the technology, the teachers or the students. Well, obviously, if it's teachers the ones sitting up there using all the technology, it's going to score real low. Because basically what we're saying here is they just use it for email, grade books, you know, searching the web, seeing what's on Facebook posts, you know, whatever. But the students do not get to use it. The teacher's using it. So that's more of a level one. Here's a level two. Is the focus on the fact that you're getting to use technology. Some of you made a comment about, well, we got to do PowerPoints. And if you think about it, to you, PowerPoints, that's cool, right? And the teachers are saying, like, hey, yeah, we use PowerPoint, you know, we're big time. Well, if you think about it, you get death by PowerPoint, and it's kind of funny because what's written across the finish line banner, PowerPoint presentation. Okay, so is it the fact, or level two is, did they use technology to say they used it, basically? Or did the technology provide critical content that they couldn't come up with without it? Does that make sense? Okay. All right, here's infusion, and here's going to be the keys about this. Higher thinking and problem solving. Are any of those taking place in that lesson? And is that problem solving and critical thinking tied to why you're using the technology. If it's not, then maybe it's not that high of a scoring thing. You've just got to think about those things. But then again, it could be, we're going to see one situation in one of the group's videos where, again, little technology is used, but it's extremely high in critical thinking problem solving. So here we've got, back to the mechanical. Here's the factory, he's just puffing out the smoke. The teacher's over in the corner going, because this is a new situation. You're going to have a transition from a level 3 to a level 4A. There's a difference there. We have... any ideas what the T and the S would stand for? Bingo. You ladies have got it. Teacher-centered versus student-centered. In other words, what I'm doing right now would be more here. Once you guys start doing the stuff and I just sit back and let you go, and you start creating projects or doing your stuff tonight, it's going to be more student-centered. So that's the difference, is also when you're looking at these classroom scenarios, try to... now, here's going to be the thing, and it's always difficult. Trust me, I have principals, superintendents, assistant superintendents that even struggle with this same point, is don't assume anything in the videos. Okay? Don't go, well, they probably could do that, or maybe they're doing that. Don't assume. Just go based off of what you see and what you hear in these classroom videos. Okay? Now, B is the routine. We've talked about that. Now, here's going to be, this is kind of a gray difference between a 5 and a 6, but what you're going to see here is real world. Is there real world ties to this? So if you guys think about math class, for example, when you're doing math stuff, does your math professors or even your math teachers in school tell you how that would actually be used in the real world, real life? No, go do odd numbers, you know, 33 through 92, have them ready in the next 5 minutes. But the big thing is making real world ties and connecting to those. Now, level 6 basically is you don't have to buy anything. If you want it, you already have it. So in other words, a Lodi level 6 is everything and anything's readily accessible. You walk over to the closet, you walk over to the shelf, and you have it. You don't need to order anything. So in that big thing, hopefully, you'll be able to give, you'll have rubrics in a minute to follow in some, what we call sniff test and everything to follow in your group to evaluate. But when you hear me talk about this, we just give you an introduction of Lodi. You have any idea of what we mean by the heat? What do you think the H and the E, A, and the T stands for? What's the H? Give you a hint. We mentioned a moment ago about balloons. Higher order thinking, higher order questioning levels. Okay, what's the E? Huh? But what makes education successful to the students and teachers? Engagement. So we have higher order thinking, higher order questioning, basically higher order levels, higher order skills. Engagement, A is what? What I tell you you would need to make to be a level 5. Authentic. A is authentic. Make it real world. Really applicable. You know, authentic. In other words, when you're doing, you know, you'll hear the terminology, and some of you may be familiar with these. Anybody want to know what PBL is? Project-based learning. You'll also hear UBD.
Wow. Actually, they wrote it this way. Understanding by design. They're all the same kind of thing, and the biggest thing is, and this is why some people struggle early in this class, is because when I give you a project, I'm thinking reverse. I have the project in mind, now we're going to work in reverse order. Instead of saying, okay, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and now here is what my project is. So when I say digital storytelling, okay, I know what my project is, I know what my end result is, and now let's walk backwards and set it up that way. And that's the way these are. But that is to try to make sure everything's authentic, to give you something really authentic to relate to or connect with. And again, you know, we're always going to be looking at this situation, sustain, assess, implement, plan. My wife always gives me a hard time because every semester she goes, why do you redo so many things every semester? I said, well, I know what doesn't go well, I know what goes well, you know, and try to revamp it. So
that's why she gets mad at me sometimes when I'm on the computer all the time. All right, so here's what I want you to do. Is I'm going to bring up our little random name picker, and we're going to put you guys in groups. And this is also two other little applications.
Okay, there's your groups. Now, we'll go ahead and get you in your groups. You're going to want to have three laptops in your group, okay? So we've got group one is Bailey, Greta, Miranda, and Caitlin. Group two is Jordan, Jillian, Aaron, and Sarah. Group three is Jacqueline, Vance, Nolan, and Megan. Four, Pam, Carly, Hannah, and Yogi. Five, Tilly, Beverly, Logan, Aspen. And then six is Victoria, Amanda, and Brian. So go ahead, get in your groups, and you're going to need three laptops in each group. And then I'll explain to you the process because each of you will have a role. Remember your group number, because that's going to play a role here in a minute. Yes, sir. Hey, move the tables around. If you guys want to rearrange the tables, trust me, I hate rows. All right? If you want to rearrange tables, rearrange them. Get them where you're comfortable and you can get together.
Six. Group six.
You feel free to just come up here and move the tables around like you want. Together as a group. So this way you understand how we're going about this, okay? What you're going to need to do is I want you to, for right now, go to the Lodi sniff test on one computer in your group, okay? One computer in your group, open the Lodi sniff test. And it should be, it'll open up as a PDF for you. And then you should have something like this open up for you. Okay. One other click on the next one, which is the heat rubric. So actually, we're going to end up using all four of them. I'll explain the digital blooms binder later. All right. Now, so you have one person with the heat, one person with the Lodi. The third person, okay, listen up. Third person, click on the lesson evaluation form link, which is right here, just below the sample video. Say what?
I did not set access to the
app. On the form? It's blocked.
Yeah.
So, one person's going to have the video, one will have these. How many of the rest of you are getting that form block?
We did.
Holy schmolies.
Yeah, all of them are dead.
That?
The other one would know the one.
I don't understand that, because all we're doing is going to a form. Okay, let me... So much for giving you the link to it. Okay, here's a simple. Here's one of those scenarios. We will throw it into Edmodo. I'll start a new discussion and your group can put your stuff in the Edmodo thing, saying which video, okay? Sorry, but we're going to make an adjustment on the fly and not worry about it. So, here's what we're going to do. And I'll start the discussion here in a moment for you, but let's take a look at this video. Is everyone ready? Okay, we're going to look at the sample video. And again, listen to what's going on and don't assume anything. Let's see if I can get it to pop up.
Allison Berry. I teach at Packlet Elementary School in Packlet, South Carolina. Been teaching third grade for 8 years. This is my eighth year. Today we'll be completing a lesson called Food Chains. I created the Food Chains lesson to enhance my students' understanding of simple food chains. As I studied the curriculum, I thought the board and the software would give me the opportunity to enhance the concepts of food chains that sometimes is difficult for my students to understand. I used a variety of the Promethean tools to have as much interaction with my students as possible.
I really liked the part where we would drag something out of the consumer work thingy, and we would drag it up to the chart where it says omnivore, herbivore, or carnivore. Doing it on the active board is much harder than just reading a book.
As notebooking is an important part of the science curriculum here at Packlet Elementary School, I wanted to include some basic terms that students could record in their notebook. So I began the lesson with some words that I thought would be important. And I also included some outside resources, such as interactive websites and United Streaming video clips.
Can't get it. If the bear's not there, it can't get you.
And at the end of the flip chart, I included some active vote questions that I use for a formative assessment. Also a review to see how well my students were comprehending the lesson. And after the flip chart lesson is concluded, I would have my students probably return to their KWL charts in their science notebooks and record what they've learned. My name is Allison Berry, and I hope that you enjoy the food chains flip chart. And my students really enjoy it. It makes learning meaningful, fun, and active.
Okay. I want you in your group. Let's start with looking at the Lodi Sniff Test. Talk about in your group where you would score it based off that Lodi Sniff Test rubric. Okay, as you discuss, I just posted a thing in Edmodo, so as you guys talk, you can respond to this. And you can do it just by group. You can say group one of you in the group can respond and say us in group one, us in group two, whatever. But it's right here. In watching the sample video from Promethean in an elementary classroom, you've been asked to evaluate it based on Lodi and heat rubric. How do you score on the Lodi level, and what items do you see in the heat view? Did you view? Well, you could say, you could just pick out certain things, okay? This is just for a practice thing, and then you guys are going to get in, dig into it deep into your assigned video.
Okay, so are we supposed to use all four things?
On this first one? No, that's what I was just saying. Just okay. One of you can respond for your group.
She's always going to be here.
Higher protein.
Here in a moment. We're going to let everybody put their thoughts in, and I'll tell you how it actually scores. Groups finishing up. Someday this will finish. Come on. there a group still putting information in? Is everybody done? Okay, let's take a look here. All right, one, two, Jordan, what group number are you? So we're waiting on one more group to finish? Now, honestly, did all of you choose 4B because the first group chose 4B?
No.
Okay, so let's take a look at these. All right, so in this discussion, each group, well, we have one group at 5. Okay, let's look at the Lodi sniff test. Looking at your sheet, is technology being used, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, is there evidence of content-related higher-ordered thinking by the students?
Yes.
In what way? Where's the higher-ordered thinking taking place? So, what, say what? Okay.
Did you say like those computer games?
Okay. Now, you brought up a point. I was wondering if somebody was going to mention, but back to your point. Yes, you're saying they had to choose which one to go to, but is that knowledge level? Comprehension?
Depends where they are.
Okay. Okay. Reason I'm just asking these questions to just get you guys thinking, because these are the things you're going to have to start looking for in this next, in your groups video, plus some things that I want you thinking about as you develop projects in class. Okay? Are these type of questions is, all right, am I looking at this? Am I looking at that? All right, I will say it is higher than level 1. Let's look at yes, since you guys are saying down, let's go yes. Is the learning experience student-centered or real-world applied learning? It's student-centered. Who created it? Who created everything? Okay, the teacher created the smart board activity, or Promethean, excuse me. Those Promethean people get mad at you if you call it a smart board and vice versa. But anyway, the interactive whiteboard was all created by the teacher. The students didn't have any input in it being created. Therefore, it can't be student-centered.
So it's not the activity that's student-centered?
Yeah. But what activity did the students create? But did the students create that game? I will agree with you that there's probably, I will agree. Did everybody ask the point that she made? Where you saw in the part where they're playing the computer games, which Megan, I think you mentioned something about the computer game, where you saw them chasing the wolf, and I'll be honest with you, that's an actual open source game. Did you ever have to play it for Mrs. Blue? Or in biology class? Okay. Well, I knew that they had loaded it on those laptops, but it's that same game. But you actually have to be the wolf and try to survive. I will give you credit that there's higher order thinking, critical thinking situations there. But here comes that assumption piece. Did she just add that on as an add-on?
or was it a key component to her whole unit on the food chain? Now, hopefully, and that's the reason I want to do this video first, is because everybody scores it. Trust me, I've had superintendents score it. And then we're going, let's look at this again. Let's talk this. All right? And these are the things to think about. And these will be the points that we make when we start doing actual smart board lessons. Is it's teacher created. You guys see them. Yeah, the students get up. But it's one student up, or if you're in a ritzy school district and we have the brand new boards where you have two kids up, what's everybody else doing? So that's the stuff you got to think about in these situations. So that's what's tough about all this. So, to be honest with you, it's between a 2 to a 3. I'm not going to argue with your point there because it's very valid. But we also try to say if it's student-centered, here's the thing is, and this is a good point, and yes, this is getting off, but this is something I want you guys to think about when we're doing these type of, when you start designing your projects in here, is there's three things that will help you distinguish between student-centered and teacher-centered. Okay? Content, process, and product. If you, the students, let's just take it back from off that survey we did. Did you have any input here in what we're doing this semester?
Yes.
In here?
Yes.
No, probably no in your other classes, but in here, back to our survey. Okay, so you have input there. Now, the process of doing it, are you going to probably have input on it?
No.
Probably not. So our score is student, teacher. Now here's the next thing. It's going to be a combination. I may give you a theme and you guys choose how to create the product. All right? In other words, if I say, okay, we're going to focus on digital storytelling, I may give you some examples. We'll use rubrics, talk about how we can do it in our classes, and you choose how you want to create your own own digital story, whether it's video, still image, cartoons. Trust me, that's a big trend right now is students creating their own cartoons to tell a story. So the product is your product, so we have a kind of a team piece to that, where in this case, did the students have any input into the content? No. Did the students have any input into the process that you saw and heard? Did the students create the product?
No.
You saw them play a game, but did they create the game? It's teacher-centered. You have to be one or the other, that one category's got to have two-thirds of it, if not more. Does that make sense? Now, I'm not going against what you guys learned. It's, again, a philosophy difference. But this is, so you guys understand how I look at things and the way the people I've worked with when we go through the Lodi stuff. All right? So don't go run back saying, well, Mr. Mann said, you're wrong. Because it's different philosophies, okay? Although she and I get along, we'd probably laugh at each other. But anyway, this is a level 2 to a 3, depending on some of the points that you make, okay? So, and trust me, folks, you're not going to be a master of this. The reason I'm just going through this week is to let you guys start. I want you to start thinking about things that you have to incorporate when you're doing this. When you do this, now, for some of you, you're not going to be in the student teaching, you're not going to be in the classroom for 3 or more years, let's say, okay? You know, 2+ years. Yeah, things are going to change in a lot of ways, technology-wise. But the fact
that I want you to think about how to go through and design stuff isn't going to change. Just about every one of you mentioned something in the blog about getting the students engaged or their input on things. So that's not going to change. It's what you use to incorporate with those things that changes. So, anyway, let's go to your videos. You are going to watch on Edmodo what I've done. And if guys, if this doesn't work, then I'll go about it a third way. But what I've done is, on here, hopefully you guys could click on that Lodi Classroom Evaluations. It'll take you to a Google Doc. And as you guys do the Google Doc, did you get it open? Cool. Part of the reason I want you guys to see this is because, and don't get confused, if all you groups are in here typing at the same time, you're going to see each other typing. This is another reason why I kind of show you some of these tools. I was in on one when Ning, which is one of the sites there, I said, went to a paid side. We had 100 people editing the document. Whether we were typing or viewing, had 100 people in on it. Now think of that global collaborative project. You're all on the same one, peer editing, adding comments. A friend, a person in California that I know, she was kind of incorporated in music. The kids started a little bit of a song. They shipped it to another school in another country. They added to the song, and it just traveled around until it came all the way back around. How many of you heard of the Flat Stanley Project? It's that same kind of idea. And that's what we're talking about with the NETS and ISTE standards, is that collaborative piece. It's real world, isn't it? With Flat Stanley, you're working with other people to design a product. There's authentic. There's collaboration, which is higher order, you know, higher level skills, 21st century skills. So those are the things I want you guys thinking about when you do these. So anyway, here's what it is on that form, you could bring it up in your one person that would have brought up the survey form, but what I've asked you to do is make sure you respond with your group number, all the members in your group, so you get credit for being here tonight and get, you know, credit for doing the class activity. And then you tell me what you thought the loading class video was, and then certain things out of the heat rubric that you saw, that you observed. And I want you to be specific this time, okay? So for example, if you saw one item under the H, tell me what that one item was. And I'll show you guys why when we're done with this, okay? So go for it. Your video is your group number. Pull the power cord out of that. If you're using one of those, just take the power cord out and you can plug it in. No, on that Google Doc. If you go to, what I did was on the Edmodo, where it says Lodi Classroom Evaluations, see this link right here?
Yeah.
Click that.
Oh. Yeah.
And this will then, should open for that person. And then you just click here where it says edit this page, and just start going. No, I told it. So watch your video, go through that, and I'll fix this, because that should have... Thank you.
so I guess we can look at that.
Are we able to reply yet?
Yeah. Whoever, those two that have asked for permission are in. See how Bailey's group's in there already typing? This is how you're going to know it, because it's going to have different, each person's have a different color. Plus, you're going to know who's in here, because it tells you if they're viewing or what they're doing.
Where's that? It's in the docs?
It's in the Google Docs, yep. What, so the video?
No, it won't let me go for
probably not because
you deserve to my information.
What exactly does this process mean? Like, just
in other words, what would did,
how the process to do something like, okay, you're going to do this, you'll do this step, you'll do that step, do that step. Or, well, let's first research, then we'll write on a rough draft, then we'll hear it. That kind of, that's what we mean by process. You determine the process of completing it from start to finish, the steps.
So if the teacher told them to be a draft, but they have to choose
so that's that. That's kind of like say, I can say, okay, I'm going to say, you guys created it. I want you to focus on a different story you wrote. That's the project. You choose the process. You choose the product to use to complete your thing.
So
you have the input in on it. So that's going to be, that's a good question, because there's times that we'll get into it. One administrator said, no, that's the teacher's saying, because the teacher said you're making graphs. The next administrator might say, graphs are pretty broad. You're letting them choose a pie chart, a line graph, a bar graph, you know. So. Yeah, I'm approving it right now.
Good question. Well, it could be that you don't have QuickTime. It could be several things. If it's a QuickTime movie, you got to have QuickTime to play QuickTime. And it's little things like that. Okay, every group should be able to edit now, correct?
Also, collaborate.
No, where do you have that?
No, we're here.
hold on a second. Right when you click on in Edmodo, if you clicked on where it says Google thing, it'll pop up and you'll see it and it'll say for edit. Yeah, see where it says edit this page? You'd click there and it'll pop up and you just click the link that asks for permission. You're going to find your assignment is this one right here where it says due February 12th. And like I said, at the beginning of class, you know, you want to have your post and a response to at least one person by then, by 6 p.m. But also, anytime, you know, if you want to double check on when due dates are due, up here on this calendar, I know this could be a little confusing, but I've got it multiple areas for you. But under calendar up here on Edmodo is, again, when things are due, obviously class. But also don't forget that on the that week at the bottom of the page we tell you. And then also up when you're looking at the class calendar off of the wiki, it's there also. So we've got them in different locations to remind you what's due and when it's due and whatever. But one quick thing, let me clarify. Does everybody understand that it's just the Edmodo and where on the Edmodo to, for your homework? So we're all leaving here on the same page? Okay, good. Now, this is the last thing I wanted to show you. Back here on the Google Doc, what's nice, again, if some of you paid attention, this automatically saves ever so often. All right? So you don't have to worry about that. So if you hit a refresh, the other thing that's nice is then I can come in, and the way I just did this is if you go up here to insert, it'll say comment, and that's how it puts it to the side. So if you're wanting to leave comments, if you're editing somebody's stuff, you could always highlight, do strike-throughs, you know, that stuff. But what's nice is that way you could peer edit stuff from one another, or if you got a collaborative project that you're trying to do. But this way, you also saw another way of, again, sharing your thoughts and everything with everybody else in class, too. So not that I don't want you talking, it's just give you an experience to kind of see how some of the things work. But here's one other thing I want to show you. See where it says under file, I could go to see revision history. Let's say when that one group got in here and changed my stuff, see here's what it originally was. What's nice is I can always backtrack to a certain point and restore a paper to that point. Now, what I would strongly suggest that you think about is, I'm not pointing fingers or anything, this is a good learning experience, that's the reason I put you guys through these things, is let's say I want to copy what I just typed before I restore, because if you restore to a point, so if I was to click here where Kiyoki and Jordan and them were typing at this point, everything from here down, or everything from here up, is gone. So that's why I would say, if you have to restore to a point, you might copy anything that was provided before then, or up to that point, copy it and then paste it in. So that's just something to think about. Any questions or anything? All right, you guys, stay warm tomorrow and Wednesday. You're supposed to be cold and all. If you have one of the laptops, please make sure you plug them back in.